Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get all the latest football headlines and bite-sized opinion in the brand new Whistleblowers Daily Podcast. Join Mark Smith, Martin Grutten and a conveyor belt of guests as they dissect all the biggest stories in one small, perfectly formed package. Take 5 to 10 minutes out of your day to stay up to date with everything that matters in football. Whether it's a big result from the night before, a new excuse from Jurgen Klopp, a shocker of a VAR decision, or a new chapter in the ongoing Man United soap opera, we will cover it. All the latest news, every weekday lunchtime, on the Whistleblowers Daily Podcast. Look for the Whistleblowers wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome to the first Spurs show of this week. Mike Lee joining you. Difficult show tonight. Our Jewish listeners will know tomorrow is the Jewish Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the most austere holiday in the Jewish calendar. And really, it's almost come early with that dreadful, dreadful performance at the weekend. Thoroughly depressing. But I've got three men, hopefully you can cheer me up. And they all share the fact they've all written books on Tottenham Hotspur. We've got Carl Jones returns. How are you, Carl?
A little bit better than I was on Saturday afternoon, Mike. Thank you. Yeah, it's
is that lunchtime kickoff? It really does ruin the entire weekend, doesn't it?
It immediately followed a 7-1 defeat for my son's under-14s team. So I really had a fantastic Saturday.
Oh dear, I know that's awful. And also joining us, the author Paolo Hewitt. How are you, Paolo?
Very well, thank you, Mike.
Nice to see you. Nice to have you back.
Seeing your face.
Oh, bless you. It's nice to have you back. And also a man who's been on the show many, many times, and he's got a fantastic new book out, Jimmy Greaves, The Jimmy Greaves We Knew, The Authorised Celebration of a National Treasure. Mike Donovan returns. How are you, Mike?
All right, very well, thanks. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thanks for coming on, and we'll certainly talk about this brand new book, which again, a wonderful, wonderful read. I got it arrived today, by the way.
Oh, thank God for that.
I had to go down because of you. It's the same in Portugal. You'll be in, and all of a sudden you'll get a thing through the door saying you weren't in, go to the post office to pick up whatever. And I was like, I was here. No one rang the bell. No one rang the bell. Went all the way down. What is this? Got down there, showed them my ID. No, you need your passport. Passport. It's just a letter. All the way home, all the way back to get your book. So it was kind of worth the schlepping to and fro. Well, look, we've got so much to cover. Obviously, we're going to talk about Mike's brand new book, and we've got big game coming up tomorrow in the Champions League, Eintracht Frankfurt, and we'll do another recording later on this week to cover the Brighton game. But we've got to talk about the game against the Woolwich Wanderers at the weekend. So many kind of friends of mine and people I follow on Twitter, Carl, were all kind of saying before, and it's almost like, what year is this? How many times have we said to each other, let's have a good start, let's not give anything stupid. Let's, a few people thinking, oh, will he change the formation? Obviously, clearly don't know Conte well enough. And again, first 3 minutes in, they had chances. We just sort of went into that shape, improved, certainly with the equaliser, and I think had chances to go on and win the game. And yet again, individual errors cost us another keeper error in a key game. Emerson Royale losing his head. We'll discuss whether we thought it was severe enough for a red. But once that happened, it was pretty much game over. So frustrating again, wasn't it, Carl?
It was. And I think the thing about it, unfortunately, it went an awful lot of the way that I thought it might. They created a really big atmosphere, which, let's be honest, doesn't always happen there, but it was their first home game in a month. They've been absolutely humiliated at our place in May. So you know, they were coming at it high on confidence, making an atmosphere. I actually thought we handled that pretty well for the beginning part of the match, and sort of, you know, aside from the fact of just sitting so deep and inviting them on, that the formation kind of concerned me a little bit to begin with, just because you kind of look at us getting overrun in midfield against better opposition, sometimes playing that formation. And it kind of relies upon, as I mentioned, I was driving from my son's under 14s match back home, listening to Five Live, and they were sort of saying that, you know, before the match, they were saying that Conte's going to ask players to do things that they don't necessarily want or enjoy to do, but, you know, that they'll trust in the manager. And I think that was evident for me with Sonny. He just looked really, really exposed whenever having to sort of drop back into that almost a midfield five. And I think that had we gone to up top, had we added Bissouma to the midfield, Ollie Skip maybe not fit enough, there's Sarr even in there, had we just added that little bit more beef in midfield, matched them up a little bit more, I thought we looked very, very competitive for those spells. But we just seem to keep falling back onto this thing of, we're going to sit back, we're going to try and catch them on the counter-attack. And that wasn't working on Saturday, because the final balls were, even for the penalty, you know, it was a mislaid final ball. So it was just really, really frustrating, as you say, Mike. It felt like we've seen this episode before.
Yeah, Paolo, it's a kind of system under Conte. When it works well. When it doesn't work, and again, there's shades of Nuno, shades of Mourinho. I'm sorry to say that, but when it doesn't work, you kind of hark back to those days. And Carl touched on it there. There were times in that first half when the Arsenal line was so high, and I was sitting there going, oh, we're going to get in here. And the passes were overhit. There was one from Son. Kane was in. There was a few. I mean, fair as Conte did pick up on this, on the kind of saccharine, insipid kind of post-match interview he has to do for Tottenham TV, which, you know, he's not going to get anything kind of controversial thrown at him. But he sort of said we had these good chances.
Yeah.
And it's just this kind of...
I know, but you see, Mike, for me, at first I was thinking... This is on Conte. When I saw that Bissouma wasn't in the lineup, my heart sank because I thought, oh, God, they're going to overrun us in midfield. So, obviously, his game plan was, you know, as we all know, you know, soak up the pressure of him on the counter-attack, which would have worked. His plan would have worked. If Sonny had passed the ball in a way that me, you and everybody on this panel can pass the ball, we'd have scored two or three goals, wouldn't we? We'd have gone in at half-time 3-1 up or something. You know, I mean, without a doubt, if Sonny hadn't messed up, his system would have worked. You know,
possibly. It's such a fine line, though, Mike. It's a system that there's no deep, you know, deviance between it. If you get it right, but it's such slim margin, and when it doesn't go quite right, like on Saturday, you get exposed. He even sort of said, I think some of the players sort of said, Eric Dyer said after the game, we didn't press enough and the boss wanted us to press more. So clearly things didn't happen on the pitch that Antonio told them to do.
Yeah.
But it's just again in these games, and I know us fans, you know, maybe we don't understand everything, but just when it comes to that sort of passion, and I mean, you know, the passion went the wrong way with Emerson Royale and his challenge, but it's just frustration that it's got to be so precise to kind of work under this system.
Oh, as you said right at the beginning, it's a lot. There's a couple of individual errors that proved so crucial. You know, getting a player sent off, it was a stupid challenge. I don't think he should have got sent off for it, but it was a stupid challenge to make. And of course, as soon as that happens, the game's thrown completely up in the air, no matter how well the system's working. If you're one short, you know, you're up against it. And that's what happened. I mean, I must confess, I didn't see the whole game, thankfully, because I was I got work at Wimbledon v Colchester. So right. I only sort of saw the highlights of the match. But
blessed relief, trust me.
And but I sort of, I must confess, you know, I always feel Spurs are going to win the match, but you had that, like, a little bit of a sinking feeling before the game, you know, because Arsenal were really buoyant. And as you said, it was their first home game for a month, you know, and the fans were up for it. And Emirates was in an atmosphere for once. And
but we should. But this is it. We knew this was going to happen. We know all this. Also, they, we had far more players than them on international duty, playing more games. We know all. We kind of knew the criteria before this game starts. Even more reason why you've got to start at it. And I think the first 3 minutes they had like two or three half chances, and you're sitting there going, I've seen this. How many times have I seen this? This awful, bloody ground. That I've sat here and just seen us overrun, and their horrible fans getting behind them. But the frustrating thing was, Carl, is that after that we weathered the storm, and it kind of didn't. They didn't create anything. And the goal, yes, you could argue maybe he could have been closed down, but let's sort of just say it was a good goal. I don't really want to go into the circumstances where this player, I don't think, should even be on the pitch or even free at large. But we all know about various rumours about him and stuff. So that was obviously a frustration. But once we got back in the game, we had that period, Carl, we looked really, really good. And then beginning of the second half, how many times have we watched games against our rivals when we give away a goal early on? And again, Hugo Lloris, who, let's be honest, has been fantastic, fantastic goalkeeper.
Can't knock him, really.
However, there are sometimes big, big games. And someone I saw put a list up somewhere, big key games where he'll make individual errors. And obviously the shot, he didn't parry it away. And even after that, hit Romero's leg and sort of went on. He sort of jumped over the ball. It was a bizarre movement. And even forget about the sending off at 2-1. I thought, I immediately went, we're not coming back into this. I know a lot of people went, oh, we have plenty of time. I felt that it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I think going in 1-1 at half-time, it still looked wide open. Our goal really changed the tide a little bit with the atmosphere, yeah. Shut them up, yeah, quite quickly.
It really did. They started getting on their back, didn't they, slightly?
100%. And I think, you know, the thing, we've touched on it a lot with this system, where we play with these fullbacks that have got to kind of maraud on. And I know we're probably going to talk in more depth about his red card. The issue, that there was one decent cross that no one was following in on. The issue I've got really with Emerson Royale on the right-hand side, and to an extent, Perisic on the left-hand side, because he's not going to be able to get up there against better teams necessarily with that pace, is how often it goes out to the right and then he stops, he checks, it comes back inside, we pass it sideways. You know, there isn't that penetration. So surely, you know, if we're going to play with these wing-backs, you need a player that can whip a ball in. And it just feels like such a long time since we've had that player. And I was really excited about the prospect of signing Jed Spence in the summer. I've seen a little bit of him play. He looks fantastic. Okay, he's a raw talent. He's a little bit unproven. But at the moment, I don't think we've got a better option. And maybe his chance will come. I will be a little bit disappointed if it means that Doherty's immediately parachuted straight back into the team, who, by the way, I'm not sure he's been injured. I think he's been filming a French period drama with that little goatee he was sporting on Saturday. But he, you know, I really want to see Jed Spence get a go, and because I think that having that attacking fullback to bomb on would have made a big difference. But coming straight out, you know, it's a really fundamental mistake that he's made there. Again, they're down the right hand side. They're cutting in. They're attacking us, It's just a mistake. It's a mistake. And I think if we're going to be really, really hypercritical of one or two of these players, we've got some really, really experienced international players who have been in this atmosphere. As sickening as it was to kind of see that little huddle that Arsenal did, led by Xhaka, you know, this guy who goes missing from so often, actually driving them. It felt like the boot was on the other foot for once, where actually we didn't have the leaders on the pitch and they did. And that hasn't actually been true with Tottenham Arsenal, I don't think, in recent seasons. So I do question where are Sons, Kane's, Lloris's, Romero's, why we're not dragging ourselves by the scruff of the neck when there's an entire stadium singing about us and saying, you know, we're getting battered. Where are the players to go, you know, this is the badge on the shirt. This is the most important game that could be. We could go top of the league if we win this. That is the problem, that it always seems to come back to this psychology of, are we watching the same old Tottenham? Are they, you know, and that for me was frustrating because, as you say, Mike, 47, 48 minutes, felt like we're not coming back from this. Should that be how it is when we've got the quality we've got on that football pitch?
Yeah, no, good point. Paolo, I mean, you know, this was our first defeat in the Premier League in 13 matches, so let's not get too carried away. Kulusevski is obviously a big miss. We believe he could be out for the next few games. He just gives us that balance wide, and we really kind of miss him. But players aside, you know, I think Bentancur, I thought looked really, really good and sort of calmed things down in the middle. But I mean, you know, you've been going to Spurs as long as I have, Paolo. There's a frustration there, and Carl mentioned it here, that we don't take the game by the scruff of the neck. The big players don't come through when you kind of want
them. Yeah, it's happened so much that you know, in cup finals, cup semi-finals, you know, like you say, the big players just don't. They just disappear. And you know, someone, you know, I was thinking, you know who I was thinking of? Is Dave McKay. You know, if we had a Dave McKay on that pitch, driving them forward, just screaming and shouting. And then I wonder, you know, I mean, I'm probably completely off the ball here, but, you know, it feels like you can't do that anymore. You can't, you know, I mean, I'll give you an example. Do you remember when Darren Bent missed that sitter against Portsmouth and Harry said his wife Sandra could have, yeah, you know, match a day. Oh, blow him up. His agent called up Levy the next day. Your manager can't talk about my client like that. And if that's the kind of atmosphere that you can't be shouting at somebody, I don't know where we're at, because I don't know what more do you need to galvanise these players? It's, yeah, like you say, it's the most important game of the season. We go top of the league if we beat them. Obviously, they were out for revenge after last May. You know, we've been living off that gloriously. You know, every time I take my son to school, there's Gooners there. And, you know, I talk to him about Thursday night and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all the rest of it. And
I mean, surely, that, you know, I know it's levelled, oh, you know, so many foreigners in the game. They don't want these games.
You know what?
But
you know
surely,
what?
They're told. They know what this means. I went to this thing.
That Steve Perryman, Graham Roberts, Chivers, yeah, the thing you did, Mike, you know, the thing at
the 72
right?
event.
And you know,
yeah,
when they were talking about, oh, the fuck, what, in Spain they don't have Real Madrid, Barcelona, in Italy they don't have Napoli, of course everybody understands a rival. If you're in whatever country you play in, there's huge games, you know. Of course they understand it. You know, I just don't buy that. It's a ridiculous comment, I think.
Do you think Mike, he's, you know, we've got a huge game against tomorrow, as we call this, in Eintracht Frankfurt. Surely now, well, obviously we've got Royals out, Kulusevski's out. We've got this issue now with our kind of attacking players. Moore is still injured. Do you think we'll now see maybe for tomorrow the Bissoumas, Spence's coming in, maybe Skip coming in again? I mean, after defeat, I mean, surely he's going to try and freshen things up a bit.
Well, I mean, well, as Carl alluded to earlier, I'd love to see Spence given a tryout. I mean, he was consistently fantastic all last season at Forest, and he does what Royals never seems to do, is take on the fullback and go past him and get a cross in. I mean, he sort of stops at the halfway line and he's like a deer in the headlights. And so I'd love to see him given a chance, despite his inexperience. And I know Conte is a bit concerned about that. But as Paolo said about Bissouma, you know, he'd stiffen up the midfield. And Bentancur, I think, is probably Conte's most inspired signing, who's been absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you made those two changes, and it's unfortunate Kulusevski's out, but, you know, I think there's enough there. And it just needs, you know, going back to Paolo, and I'm showing my age, but I saw Dave McKay live, and I know what kind of influence that guy had. And you can speak to every one of his teammates. He galvanised that team. There were superstars in that team, and they were scared stiff of Dave McKay. They looked to him as a leader. And I think that's what it is. It's just this leadership thing. That's what Spurs need, and that's what Spurs have lacked for years and years. They need somebody to get it by the throat and, you know.
Yeah. Isn't it weird, though? But isn't it a bit weird, though, that I found this weird, that at the end of last season, it was all about Conte saying, if you don't sign players, I'm walking. So they sign all these players, but he doesn't pay them. It's a bit weird.
I mean, he's always, in fairness to him, he's always sort of said that Spence was a signing by the club. He said that Spence needs time to learn the system. He said Bissouma needs time to learn the system. A bit like Eriksen didn't get in the team for a while for Inter Milan. Doherty, I believe, was told because of the big injury he got last season, it would take him time. I think Doherty you're going to start seeing playing on a more regular basis. So I don't mind so much, you know, we don't see him training week, you know, every single day.
We've got to
trust Antonio to know he's not ready yet for this. But I think now with these injuries, we're going to see it. Look, guys, let's go for a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to look at the game tomorrow night, Eintracht Frankfurt, and discuss the book, The Jimmy Greaves We Knew. Back in 1 minute.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back from the break. Don't forget, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/Spurs Show, and support our show in the process. Our monthly London live shows have started. If you haven't listened to last week's part one with Colin Calderwood, some great stories. What a fantastic guest. Thank you to Theo Delaney and Pete Hayne for doing the interview. Part two will go out soon. I don't know exactly what day, but it'll probably go out on maybe Friday, really. And then October the 24th, this is going to be a cracker, Jerry Armstrong. There's a man with some stories. If you want to be there, just go to season.spurshow.net, sign up, and you and a mate can come along to all our events. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram and leave us a nice review on iTunes. Next week, I'm joined by Danny Fenton and the voice of doom and gloom, Mr. Robert Eason. Carl, tomorrow night, Eintracht Frankfurt. After defeat in Lisbon, when you look at the fixes, you kind of think Frankfurt back-to-back, away and home. These are the games. We're going to need at least 4 points. Frankfurt, not a good start to the season. Now hitting a little bit of form. They won at the weekend. I was at the Lisbon game where, again, pretty similar to the Arsenal game, I thought we kind of didn't start very well, weren't particularly ambitious, looked like we're trying to hold on for a draw, and it all went horribly wrong. There's going to be a big atmosphere there tomorrow, isn't there?
Yeah, and, you know, there was a time not so long ago where we used to feel quite optimistic about away games in Europe, and that's, we've had a few pretty dreadful ones in the last few seasons. So I feel a little trepidation. I think they've got Goetzer out, so that's probably plays to our favour a little bit.
Goetzer. I always think of Chas and Dave when I hear Goetzer. Goetzer. Can't help it.
Well, he'd be in the dressing room listening to Chas and Dave's albums, I think.
I wonder if there's a German Chas and Dave.
Exactly.
But I think it's going to be a tough game, and I think, as you say, Mike, we need 4 points really, because obviously Lisbon have won both their games. Marseille, we've still got to go there. They haven't got any points yet, so it sort of feels like, you know, if Lisbon pick up some points against Marseille, it starts to look like us or Frankfurt for the other position. So I would be happy with a point. Obviously, there was the perhaps controversial decision of Conte to kind of make, I think it was a quadruple substitution on 70 minutes on Saturday.
I apologise. I completely forgot about that. I've never seen four players going off and on about 66 minutes, 67 minutes. Basically, that's it. That was at 2-1, though, wasn't it? That was it. It was a bit like... No, three. That was a 3-1. That was damage limitation. This game is gone. Let's start resting some players. Incredible.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, it probably never happened before with the rules of the game that to actually see that, which was the white flag, and you can only assume that he was saving some of those players as well and saving some minutes in their legs. I think we've got to see a huge reaction to Saturday, really. We've got to see those key players that we're talking about that need to take the game by the scruff of the neck. We need to see them put performance because, you know, I think all will be forgiven if we can go to Germany and get 3 points and kind of put a really good performance in. But you know, on the other hand, if we turn up like we did on Saturday and lose, we really begin to start looking like we're in a sticky situation in the Champions League too. So, yeah, big game.
You're right. I mean, the problem is, you know, coaches always say when these games come thick and fast, which, boy, they're coming thick and fast for Tottenham Hotspur now, it basically means the players play, they then recover. You get less time for training. You get less time for tactics. And this is an issue. And I think tomorrow is an absolutely massive game. I think if we lose in Germany and don't play particularly well, I think he's under a little bit of pressure. I really do, because we kind of need... Not only do we need a big performance, we need a 90-minute performance. We haven't had one this season. Yes, Leicester. Yes, Fulham. But even those games, there are periods in it where we weren't looking the better team. We haven't dominated a team yet this season for 90 minutes. And it'd be lovely that starts tomorrow. Let's do a quick prediction. Paolo, quick score prediction for tomorrow night in Frankfurt?
I'm glass half full, so... 2-1 Spurs.
2-1 Spurs. Mike, a quick prediction for tomorrow?
Draw, I think 1-1.
1-1, Carl?
Yeah, I feel like 1-1. I feel it's going to be tight, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be 2-2. I fancy it'll be 2-2. We're going to talk about the Brighton game, actually, in this show a little bit later. But I want to sort of turn our attention now to... It's almost, not exactly, but it's about a year since Jimmy Greaves died, and... there's already been many tributes to Jimmy. There's already been books to Jimmy. We've already had Norman Giller on with his authorised biography. And now there's an authorised celebration of his life that Mike has written, the Jimmy Greaves we knew. You might be thinking, oh, another book on Jimmy Greaves or whatever. This isn't a sort of, oh, then he did this, then he played for this team, then he scored this goal. It's just simple, some wonderfully moving interviews. Not only with all of Jimmy's family, which in itself is incredible to see, is his all his kids and his wife. So many interviews with Tottenham legends, including Terry Dyson, Mike England, Gil Zine, Glenn Hoddle, Pat Jennings, Phil Beale, Harry Kane, Dave McKay, Perriman, so many, and also commentators like Barry Davis as well. So many. Mike, tell us about how this book came about and what it was like for you to go around reminiscing with some close friends and family with Jimmy to put this book together.
Well, it was a dream, you know, job of a lifetime for me, you know. Jimmy Greaves was my number one sporting hero and always will be. And it was Terry Baker, Jimmy's old agent, just got in touch with me because he knew me, he sort of knew me, and he knew my passion for Jimmy Greaves and for Spurs, and he felt I'd be the man for the job. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I'd promised my wife I would take a year off writing books. And because I mean, basically, I sit on my computer all year, and Rosemary goes around and looks after the house. So, but when this job came along, I mean, I put it to her and she understood. And it was, I can't describe what a wonderful experience it was for me, you know, to speak to these people that was so instrumental in Jimmy's life, you know, and particularly the family. I mean, everybody seemed to open up, you know. It was like almost a healing thing for the family, you know. I feel, because he'd only died last September. So
yes, absolutely.
So it was kind of a big, you know, it was definitely a healing process for them, and everybody loved him. I mean, that's the basic thing. I mean, he's loved by rival clubs. You know, it wasn't just a Spurs thing. It was, you know, everybody loved him. He was a TV personality. He was a bit of everything, really.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about that, I think the interviews, and you touched on it there with the family, is that it's very, very emotional reading those bits. And probably no one's kind of asked them in detail, how are you? How are you feeling? Talk to me about your husband, father, in that way. And what's so great, because there's so many interviews in it, you know, everyone has a different perspective because of their relationship with Jimmy Greaves. And what I like about it is, you know, you haven't gone, oh, I'm now going to do a sort of biography as well. Was that very sort of deliberate to go, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and speak to people I want to speak to about this man, as opposed to doing another book about he then scored this goal and that goal, which has kind of been done before, isn't it?
Well, exactly. It's all been done. I mean, the only chapters were Cliff Jones when he described him as the greatest goal scorer of all time, and he took me through a few examples. So, I mean, you've got to mention goals when you're talking about Jimmy Greaves. But yeah, I mean, I went out with the intention. It was about the people. It wasn't and about the person. It wasn't about, as you said, it wasn't about everybody knows his story. And he got, you know, 357 goals in 516 league games, a European record that lasted until Ronaldo broke it a couple of years ago. I mean, we all know, you know, the stats don't lie. So it was definitely a personal thing, you know. It's a personal thing for me because he meant so much to me. And to speak to these people was a real honour and privilege. And I must say that the proceeds of this book will, a lot of it, well, not all of them, but some of them will be going to the Jimmy's Foundation, you know. So it's in it a very, very important book, you know, but for me personally, and hopefully people will enjoy it, you know.
Where's the best place that people just go out and get it? What works best
well,
for you?
Well, usual places, you know, I mean, Waterstones and what have you, but Amazon, I guess, is the easiest one for everybody. It's,
yeah. Who published good, it, Mike?
It's a Pitch. Pitch published it.
Okay.
It's just a privilege, you know. As I said,
it's, with Amazon, they'll take a huge chunk of money, won't they? It's better to buy.
Well, yeah.
Money's going to go to the foundation. We better.
Well,
go.
You know. Yeah. I mean, I don't get involved in all of that. That's down to, you know.
I mean,
the publishers get enough for the percentage as it is, you know, and they, you know, it's fair, you know, whatever it is, but. You know, that's their job to get the book sold.
I think if those of you at home, if you just go to Pitch Publishing, their website, and get it there,
that'd
go to
be
Pitch
easier,
Publishing.
Probably, yeah.
That's probably the best thing to do. It's a £25 hardback. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And as I said, I mean, I've mentioned some of the names there who've been interviewed. There's also John Fennelly, Ron Harris, Sir Geoff Hurst. Also been interviewed. Nick Owen obviously worked on his board. Jim Rosenthal, another one in St. John. John Sillett. Bobby Moore as well. Obviously, these are some of these old interviews that you've found in the archives. But it's a very, very moving book. And you really, you know, as fans, we know about his sort of record on the pitch. But to hear stories about him off the pitch and what a lovely person he was and how people found him day to day. And long-term listeners to the Spurs Show will know we were honoured to have Jimmy on Spurs Show Live. Probably one of his last public sort of fan events, I'm guessing. It probably was, and he was amazing. So go out and get the book. Get it now, maybe just get it now. Christmas is around the corner. It's an absolute must, and that's Mike's book, The Authorised Celebration of a National Treasure, The Jimmy Greaves We Knew, now available at Pitch Publishing. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the game coming up at the weekend. Brighton and Hove Albion, who obviously got the new manager, had a fantastic draw at Anfield at the weekend. You could argue unlucky not to get all 3 points. Again, off the top of my head, I don't think we've got a great record there in recent years as well. And they're doing very, very well. They're just below us in the league. That's going to be another tough one, isn't it? But one that you kind of hope with our players should still win.
Yeah, well, it's I mean, they're flying, aren't they, Brian? I mean, you know, they've got some top players, you know. I mean, Trossard, crikey. Potter sort of obviously had this system and it's working well, and this other guy's gonna come in and he's adopted it and tweaked it. Player for player, you would say Spurs should win it, but Brighton came to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium last season and turned us over. So, you know, anything's possible. And, I think with Brighton, they're the sort of people think, oh, they're just a pushover team. But this season, I mean, I think they're no longer like relegation fodder, are they? They're kind of like serious. I mean, they might not make the top four, but they are serious contenders now. And I think it'll be a really, really tough game.
Carl, it's obviously Brighton didn't want Potter to go. Chelsea came calling. Do you know anything about this manager? I must admit, I know very, very little about the managers come in. Bit of a left field one, possibly. But it certainly started well.
Good start. He seems to be, I don't know lots about him, he seems to be a bit of an untapped diamond as Brighton maybe seem to find. I think he's probably a bit more attacking-minded than maybe the average Italian manager, I believe, is sort of the main thing about him. So that could be an interesting matchup against Conte. I mean, it's a tough game. As Mike was saying there, you know, they are probably one of the best of the rest now. That they're kind of a top half team. You know, they're not to be underestimated. And they had a good start under the new manager, albeit against a slightly indifferent Liverpool team at the minute. So I think it's going to be really, really tough. I wonder whether that will be a game we'll see Bissouma in. I wonder whether Conte's a little bit of a romantic, like with the Richarlison thing and giving him his Champions League debut. I'd be very surprised if he sits Bissouma on the bench going back to his old club. So that could be interesting to see what happens there. So, it's a tough one. And as you say, Mike, I mean, they're all big weeks now up until the World Cup and probably after the World Cup as well. But, you know, a huge, huge week off the back of such a terrible result on Saturday to go away in the Champions League and then have such a tough assignment at Brighton on Saturday.
Paolo, it's a bit difficult to kind of predict the lineup for the weekend when we've obviously got this game first tomorrow and injuries and all that. Yeah. But it's always a tough game there. But, you know, as I said before, I think Antonio's under a little bit of pressure now. Okay, 13 unbeaten in the league. Let's not get too carried away. But it's just the way we're playing at the moment. We just as fans want to start seeing it click. As it clicked last season, and you alluded to the fact that earlier, there's a lot of new players are coming. He's not playing them yet. You know, maybe this is why. It's, you know, we all go back to the Gareth Bale money and loads of people coming in and it just didn't click full stop. And we made some really bad purchases. So I think he's definitely tried to slowly bring players into the team. But, you know, at this level, you don't have time to kind of bed players in. They've got to come in and they've got to start playing well or they're just never seen again.
Yeah, and also that's why I think the game tomorrow is so important, because if we lose tomorrow and then go and lose at Brighton, then what you're talking about, the pressure is going to be, you know, suddenly there's going to be that. And that's why I think it's so important to have a really good game to Frankfurt, to bring into the Brighton one, because they're flying, you know, like Mike was saying, they're flying at the moment, and they'll be relishing us. They'll be relishing us coming for us to come to the Amex ground. You know, they're going to be really up for it. So, but I think. And there was a thing today saying that somebody said he's thinking about changing to 3-5-2.
Well, I mean, fans are kind of saying this. I mean, you know, because it seemed to work against Leicester.
Well, it did, didn't it? I mean, it did work.
It did work. And
I think he would play Bissouma because, you know, as Carl was saying, I think, you know, that thing about play against your old club. So, you know, and with Zulaveski out and Royal out, you know, I think he might be forced into the corner. And then that would be really interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, you can't really see someone like Holbier. I mean, I'm a bit, you know, you'd imagine he wouldn't be starting, you know, all three games, playing 90 minutes. You'd think surely now there's going to be a bit of rotation. He said this season he needed a better, deeper squad because of this weird season, this break for the World Cup and everyone going off the World Cup and coming back. So you'd imagine with the game on Tuesday overseas, then a game Saturday night, surely the Brighton game is when we're going to see some players that maybe we haven't seen before this season.
Well, we're going to have to, aren't we? I mean, given a couple of injuries, and it's a test of the depth of the squad. I mean, there's always talk about, doubling up on every single position. If I allude back to the old days, I mean, Spurs won the double with about 17 players, but that's another era, another time. But I think I just hope, as I said earlier about Spence, you know, it's an absolute ideal opportunity to give him a go, you know. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, yeah. I don't know why. I don't know what Doherty's done wrong. I mean, if he's particularly, but...
Well, he had this injury, apparently. He obviously had the big injury against Villa, Matty Cash, when he was one of our best players, and it's taken him a while to get back in. He played a game and a half for Republic of Ireland last week. Obviously, came on for the last half hour. Mm. I'd imagine... we'll certainly see one of them starting against Frankfurt, and I imagine then we'll probably see one of them starting against Brighton. Royal obviously can't play in the Brighton game. He's suspended for Brighton, Everton, and whatever the other game is. Is it Newcastle? I think he'll miss three games. Mm. So I think we'll probably, well, as you said there, Mike, we will probably have to see changes. Carl, give us a quick score prediction for Brighton on Saturday night.
Well, this football club always makes me optimistic somehow. I think we're going to sneak it 2-1, and that's maybe more hope than expectation.
Paolo?
I'm with Carl. I'm on the hope vibe, the 2-1 hope vibe.
And Mike, what's your prediction for Brighton?
Well, I hate to follow the pack, but it's based more on optimism than realism. 2-1.
I'm going to go 4-2 Tottenham.
There we go. Love it.
That would be nice. A bit different. Carl, have you got anything you want to plug? Anything?
The sun has affected his head.
Exactly.
Finally,
delirious.
He's thrown the shackles off.
Utterly delirious. Carl, have you got anything coming up you'd like to tell the listener?
Well, my book, Being That Number, still out and about out there if you want to relive the Champions League final season. Thank you very much. Yeah. But I'm actually launching a podcast about the Premier League in the new year. So, great. It's not quite out and about yet, but obviously I'm at Carl D. Jones on Twitter and Carl Jones Comedian on various social media sites. If you want to follow me, there'll be more news about that in the coming months.
Fantastic. And Paolo, have you got anything in the pipeline?
I'm in the kitchen boiling up things at the moment. That's what I'm doing. She'll be unleashing them next year, I hope.
Wonderful. I look forward to it.
Oh, by the way, I need to talk to Tova at some point soon.
Okay. Well, we can sort that out. Brilliant. And Mike, best of luck with the book.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm buying it tonight, mate.
Yeah, no, go out and get it. Are you doing, is there any kind of signings or any of the ex-players sort of said they'd do some signings for you, anything like that, maybe that we could let people know about?
Well, yeah, unfortunately I can't let you know anything on that at the moment. I've done a couple of things on TalkSport and I've done a bit of promo and that kind of thing, but there seems to be less inclination to do that kind of thing at the moment. I had a soft launch, there was no big razzmatazz, but it seems the way of things these days. But I'll hopefully have some news soon. But meanwhile, I'm helping out at home.
Lovely, glad to hear it. Do put your shift in as well. You know, well, look, thank you so much, Carl, Paolo, and Mike for coming on this week. Thank you again for everyone listening around the world. We really, really appreciate it. Don't forget, as I said, I think at the end of the week, if you haven't listened to the Colin Caldwell interview from last week, do it. Really, really great stories about some of the dark days of the 90s that we endured home and away. Some really, really good stories. And as I said, part two will come out at the end of the week, and then we'll be back next week, looking back, hopefully, at a win in Germany, a win in Brighton, and looking ahead. That said, until later this week. Until later. Come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.